every time the sun came up, I wear my shades in style, my tinted view appeal to me. Even more importantly,
welcome to Light. L-I-G-H-T means living in God's hands today. True stories about how God works in people's lives. Today's story shows that God answers prayer, sometimes very gently and sometimes in the strangest, most unexpected places. This is Vicky's story. She's having coffee with a friend named Byam. He's going through a personal crisis, and Vicky is particularly qualified to help him.
Look, I can't seem to cut down. And when I see that look in Ellen's eyes, I feel so bad, I want to run.
Oh, well, what set you off this time?
I'm about to get sacked, Vicky. My boss says I'm not cutting it. Says I can either quit drinking or take a walk.
Oh, I am glad you called me. Oh, good. Our coffees. Thank you.
I don't know. Maybe I need to chuck the whole thing and change jobs while I'm still ahead.
The only thing you need to change is your attitude.
Look, I'm not good enough to Ellen and my daughter, and I'm obviously not good enough for the company.
Will you stop?
But Cindy's not doing well in school. Apparently can't concentrate. It's my fault. I told myself I'd cut back the drinking when she finished high school. Then I said, when she graduates college.
Byam, I understand. I do. I know it's hard not to feel guilty about a drinking problem, but it is really important that you go easy on yourself right now. I know that's hard to hear.
Yes. Pass the cream, please.
Sure. I had a drinking problem, too, you know.
You?
Oh,
no.
Yeah, I was a daily drinker from the time I was 18 until I was 42. That's 24 years, Byam. No matter how sick and rotten I felt, alcohol was always the answer to everything. You're smiling. Mm. Well, it never occurred to me I was an alcoholic. I thought I could cut back whenever I wanted to. I just never wanted to.
Well, something must have happened.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I went on a religious retreat for 3 days, and I got very close to my God, much deeper than I ever had. And then when I didn't take a drink during those 3 days, I thought I was cured. My need to drink had been taken away. And then I came back from that weekend, I went to a party, and jumped right back into the martinis.
Oh, God.
I couldn't believe it. Obviously, I thought God would stop the drinking, so I wouldn't have to take any responsibility for myself. Well, I knew something wasn't right about me. I didn't drink like normal people, you know. I was doing all the things an alcoholic does, you know, going from one liquor store to another, lying, denying. I remember one time when my husband came home.
Vicky!
In here, honey.
Dear, I've got a letter here from the bank. We're overdrawn $1,000. Now, I've gone over our checkbook for the last 2 months, and look here.
What will?
Well, see? The phone bill was for $115.
Mm-hmm.
You entered $15.
Hmm.
And what was this check for $68.78?
Miller's?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Miller's. I don't know.
Well, it's your signature. I mean, what did you buy for $68.78, Vicky?
I don't remember, hon.
Well, the whole last 2 months, all your page totals were wrong.
All right, Will. All right, okay? So I messed it up. Here, give it to me. I'll adjust it.
Oh, that's all right. I did it already. What's that you're drinking?
It's just a nip.
Another one? Well, at least put some soda in it.
I hate club soda. You know that. Anybody who puts soda in their scotch is a sissy.
I didn't pour that drink, Vicky.
No, you didn't.
Now, I know you keep a bottle under the sink. I've seen it. So, well, at least come into the living room and drink like a lady. That's the least you can do.
Drink like a lady. That really hurt. Although Will was usually pretty quiet about my drinking. But after I came home from that retreat, you know, I just knew I needed to change. And I became aware of how destructive I was being to myself, to my family, to God's voice within me, you know. But I still wasn't ready to quit completely. I prayed to God to help me drink like a lady.
I don't know how you could have done that, because once I have my first drink, I'm on my way.
Yeah, well, I was still lying to myself. What finally helped me was my relationship with our friends Madge and Joe. See, Madge called me up one morning. Oh, hello?
Vicky, are you all right?
Oh, I knocked my funny bone getting to the phone. Hi, Madge.
Are you busy?
Oh, no. What's up?
Can I come over?
Sure, honey. You all right?
Oh, it's Joe. Mm. He got fired from his job down at the dealership. Joe can't admit it, Vicky, but I know he's an alcoholic.
Oh, Madge, don't be silly.
It's true, Vicky. I've been going to Al-Anon, and that's how I know.
Al-Anon? Why would you go there?
Marital problems. And I needed to find people who understand what it's like living with it. Living with a drunk. I mean, they've been a big help, too.
Matt, Joe can't be an alcoholic. He doesn't drink any more than I do.
Oh, that's true, Vicky.
Matt, Joe is always alert in the morning, always ready to go and do things.
This is the second job he's lost this year. I mean, you should see our checkbook. He buys things he doesn't even remember buying. I don't know.
Look, you come right over, honey. I'll fix you a good stiff drink.
Vicky, no,
oh,
please.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Madge, just come on over, dear, and maybe when you get here, you'll tell me something about this Al-Anon.
Oh, Vicky, dear, I don't think you're ready for Al-Anon or AA or anything.
No one likes to hear they're not ready or good enough for something, but tough love sometimes is the only thing that'll motivate a person back onto the right track. Stay tuned. We'll be right back to our true story about Vicky. God is alive in this story, and through Jesus, He can be alive in you. Say this simple prayer, Jesus, come into my heart.
Not ready for Al-Anon. That is what she told me every time I asked her about it. And then one day she called my husband Will because Joe had gotten drunk, gone into Bloomingdale's where she worked, made a big scene right in front of some customers and the floor manager. And Madge knew that Will had a friend who was an AA.
So Joe talked to this guy.
Mm-hmm. They met for coffee. Now, you may not believe it, Byam, but as difficult as it will be for you to face this disease and arrest it, nothing will be harder than you coming here today and have this cup of coffee with me.
You're telling me.
Anyway, then Madge and Joe had a New Year's Eve party. And at midnight, he proposed a toast and said that was his last drink. He was going to join AA.
Whoa.
Yeah, I thought that was great for him. Then the next day, all the guys wanted to watch football. I didn't want to watch any games, so I took a jug of wine upstairs and I lay down on my bed. My daughter Georgia came in. You know how kids are.
Hi, Mom.
Oh, hi, honey.
What you doing?
I'm just sitting.
I'm hungry. Will you fix me lunch?
Oh, no, honey. Look, why don't you go downstairs and fix you and your dad a sandwich?
I want you to do it.
Georgia, how many times do I have to tell you? You're a big girl now. You can take care of yourself.
Okay. Can I bring you something? A Coke?
No, honey, I have more wine.
But Mom, well, can't I fix you a sandwich, too?
No, dear.
You gotta have something, Mom.
I'm on my New Year's diet, Georgia. I'm too fat and bloaty.
Yes, but just wine and no food.
Georgia, I'm fine. Back off, okay?
Okay. I love you, Mama.
Well, I love you, too, honey. You know that?
Oh, thanks for the cream again.
Yeah, sure. Then I began to flip the channels. And I just happened to come across a program on alcoholism. God works in so many ways. It was a panel of ordinary people, you know, not Bowery bums. They seemed to be happy. And that really made a big impression on me.
Mm.
Then 3 weeks later, I go into New York to have lunch with my aunt and uncle. I'm standing on the subway platform waiting for the E train. And this incredible feeling of peace comes over me. And I know everything is going to be all right.
Really?
Oh, it was an incredible sensation, Byam. Just gentle grace. And at lunch, I notice I'm not having my usual drink with my uncle. I mean, I don't even feel like one.
I see.
Yeah, and then after lunch, I meet up with Madge and Joe to get a ride back to Jersey. See, we made plans to meet in a bar not too far from the Fourth. Hi, Madge.
Bartender. Oh, hi. Joe should be here any second. He got hung up at the bookstore. Did you have a good lunch?
Oh, yeah. It was nice. It was very nice.
Hi there, ladies.
Hi.
Oh, just in time to order a drink.
I'll have a club soda.
Make that two, please.
Two? You hate club soda.
Joe, I think... Look, would you mind terribly taking me with you to your next AA meeting the next time you go?
AA?
Yeah, the words just popped out of my mouth. I don't know from where. Joe about keeled over. Then he handed me a little card with the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and the Serenity Prayer on it.
I've heard of it.
Yeah, here I brought a couple for you.
Well, that's very nice of you.
Well, I read it over during the next 5 days while Joe talked with his sponsor about what to do with me. He was so new to AA himself, you know. And during those 5 days, I had no desire to drink.
Not once?
Nothing.
Well, after that feeling of peace in that dirty old subway, I guess...
The desire was taken from me. Yeah, my last drink was on New Year's Day, and a horrible cloud was lifted from my head. Anyway, Joe's sponsor said that I should go to an open meeting with my husband. That would mean that we recognized that my problem was a family problem. and I finally surrendered. I knew I was powerless over this disease, and I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to God as I understand Him. My husband was a saint. I asked him, you know, how did you put up with me all these years? Did you go to Al-Anon? Did you ask someone what to do with me? He said, no, whenever he nagged me, I always drank more, so he just had to wait until I came to it on my own or God worked on me. He said he had to let go, which is good old Al-Anon philosophy, let go and let God.
Well, that's how Ellen is, very giving. I've never understood it. Sometimes I've hated her for it.
Oh, I understand. But God is working through Ellen Bynum, using her to teach you acceptance and using you to teach her patience. Oh, she loves you. You just haven't been paying enough attention to anyone other than yourself.
Yes, I do tend to isolate myself. I felt very lonely in all of this.
Yeah, well, you got help now, buddy. Not having a drink is really no big deal when you take it one step at a time.
I don't know if my wife and daughter will ever forgive me, Vicky.
Yeah, well, the question is, can you forgive yourself? Oh, I can feel very guilty for all the years I wasted, all the things I messed up. If I wanted to, I could feel so guilty I'd have to go out and start drinking all over again.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what started me on this last bender.
Yeah, well, get this. My youngest daughter, Sarah, got married, found out her husband was an alcoholic and a drug addict. Now she's getting counseling to help her go through her divorce. A counselor asks her, are you the child of an alcoholic?
Oh,
I could really make myself the culprit in that if I wanted to.
I blame myself for my daughter's poor grades. Then I have a few drinks until I hear the click, you know, so I don't have to feel so bad.
Yeah, the click. Yeah, I wasn't there for my kids when they needed me in high school. I'd rather drink than be with them. But no, Byam, I've talked this all through with my daughter. There has been so much forgiveness. And now she's relying on God to help her through her ordeal. And I have to let her grow up, not stay dependent on me. Which hurts sometimes because I feel guilty for what I did and I want to give her too much. And that's when I really have to let go.
Boy, you've come so far.
Well, so will you. Look, I'd like you to come with me to Thursday's meeting.
Oh, Vicky, how can I thank you?
Just show up. God led you here. The rest is up to you.
Turn on the light. Let God show you the way. Give it up to Him each day. Walk in His light. He listens when you pray. Living in God's hands today.
Facing up to a problem, bringing it into the open is a crucial first step. In Luke 8:17, Jesus said, "For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open." Here's a couple of questions. How do you recognize alcoholism in someone? And how does one overcome the guilt of neglect?